questions from the first part? I have one question. Why is health literacy so difficult to translate? And it probably adds to the confusion. And we get a lot of criticism because of it's very difficult to translate. So in Netherlands, where I lived for 10 years, they translated it health skills. Very practical. In my country, Denmark, they translated it to health competence. And we learned that from German, which is also competence. They also have competence. And I spoke to a professor from UK, the one with the different dimensions of health, like spiritual, emotional, sexual health. She says, competence is the ability to act. And then I thought, okay, maybe we can use that in Danish. So this competence. But then it turned out there was another theoretical concept in Danish called action competence. And then all the people who work in doing research and action competence, they said, but actually this is the same. Are we talking about the same or are we different? So then we talk about skills also in my language. In Swedish they say literacy, literacy state. But that is more technical, so I can't use that in Danish. I can say it, but it doesn't give any meaning and no one will understand. Now we use the English term, health literacy. And we did that in empowerment. So for a lot of us, it's just easier to say health literacy instead of health competence. And now they also say maybe it's health, yeah. Close to health education, or health wisdom, or health knowledge, or health. But if we have health knowledge, we're missing the action part, which becomes too passive. You have here in Spanish alphabetism, which gives more the functional literacy direction. Competence is more the broader life skill, so big. And on Spanish, you see this narrow. In every country, it's also interesting to see who are active in the field. In Netherlands, it was the literacy movement. So therefore, also makes sense that they call it skills. In Austria, it was very much the healthcare. So they have this term and compass. The capabilities that people have to manage their health. So it differs, and I don't have any clear answers. I think we all know now it has something to do with your personal resources or the system's resources to deal with health, manage your health, navigate the system, finding information. So sometimes literacy may be the best word we have right now. The other thing is we change it too much. What about all what we have done so far? So. It's important to follow. So I've followed it for 10 years and then doing a second round of collecting translations. And last week in Portugal, there were people from Turkmenistan, Azerbaijan, and Latvia, and I can't read it, but I asked them how where I function for the wider perception. We just have to take notice that some of the translations are as wide as the concept. So we have the literacy which is wide, but we have also the health that is wide, that we are studying. Other questions? Okay. Then let's say this was the more knowledge foundation. Now you are the ones to act. So I would like you to form four groups and then move the chairs and make four circles. And we just do it now. Okay. So my secret mission is that you will be up tomorrow. You are not the champions. You are the ones who will make a change. So that's why you are here. That's why you will go through the program. It means also that you need to not just sit and listen and have the knowledge, you also need to do existing. And also because I don't know much about your system here in Spain and Catalonia, so you are the experts on this, and you are the ones who will develop solutions here for Girona and Catalonia and Spain and Europe. Sometimes it's helpful to remember Don Nocky. He's a British professor. He's now living in Australia. And he said there are three levels of constituency: functional constituency, reading, writing, interactive constituency, where we communicate, and critical constituency, where we consider the right choices and act. And then, because we were hearing this story about all the emotional parts of health, I thought this is not covered, so I added also compassional health or empathic, and sometimes where we have that emotional factor to make the right choices for me, not only what is good for society, but what is for me or my family or relatives. So maybe this helps you to think about health literacy positions for functional health literacy, interactive health literacy, critical health literacy, compassionate health literacy. In each group, imagine a patient whose your own story could be someone you know or someone you met. What kind of journey will a patient have with a certain disease? When will that person call the doctor? Or will the person call the doctor? Or will they talk to somebody else first? Where will they be before they are finally treated and come out at the end? Try to describe a patient's journey in the system here, in Girona and in Spain. Yeah, in the group. Keep the wall of planning and goal setting, because maybe they're in a hospital who said we are making 100 knee operations this year, and we have a knee operation, but we have done it all, so you have to wait 3 months until next time, or there are some priorities maybe that interfere with your patient journey. It could be problem solving, that I just told you about this journalist who had a wrong diagnosis. How did that communication go about the treatment? Maybe there are different ways to go around a certain treatment or a certain process. So how was the informed decision making taking place? What type of content management is it? How do you just all agree? Could be these religious beliefs or social beliefs, influence. Are there any incentives or rewards that can influence? How is the relation with the people? Staff, patients, relatives, others? The role of the patient, the role of the expert, who's the expert? What's the interface, these touch points? Are they through the website? Are they personal meetings? Telephone maybe? And how effective are they? How smooth is it running, the whole process, in terms of teamwork with the staff? Are there any services or structures that are hindering or maybe very good for the patient? What about the values? These are some of the dynamics that will influence, we know from research. And how can we overcome it if there are some challenges? That's what we will move into now. So, in this course, you will learn 5 perspectives. We start very concrete to look at text and graphs and pictographs, forms that people have to fill out. Then we will look at this interaction. Hopefully we can do those today. And tomorrow we look at how can we change organizations and systems to have a better response. And moving out of healthcare to communities and settings. And then lastly, tomorrow talking about culture and society aspects. And we start very concrete. What is essential in this is that we want to have this paradigm shift from one size fits all, one campaign, the doctor tells you what to do. You want the patient to be responsible and to be partner and have this co-creation of health in order to have people-centered health. How do we do this? How in practice? We have to assess what's the need assessment and then perhaps shift from normal procedures and routines in order to transform the whole way of working. Maybe it's fine what we do, good, but maybe it's not. Then what can you come up with a good idea that can transform to everyone's benefit? And in that sense, I want to introduce design thinking. Is there anyone here that knows about design thinking? It's quite a modern buzzword, yeah? You know it? So you can help. It's one way of trying to come up with ideas. I'm not saying the only way, it's what the way I've chosen for this course. Because it helps us to understand the human behind the problem. Because first we try to empathize. First we try to put ourselves in the shoes of this patient. Just try it now, we will continue doing this. And then we will define what are the problems. There are some things that are going well, but then there may also be other things that are not going so well. Try to frame which challenges does this patient have. Define the problems. Third step is to come up with solutions. Okay, this is the problem. What can we do as professionals to help the patient? And then if we have time enough as a real lab, you may be able to design a prototype. We may not have it, but maybe you can find a picture of what you imagine or the process. And then we could go and test it. Now you will test your ideas with the group. This is really the design thinking process. It could be in anything, customer orientation, product development. And we talk about health services. So the approach is we have to find out what's the problem for this person and gather some inspiration and brainstorm how to solve the problem and really make it concrete. What can we learn? Then we will share with the group to test if your ideas are good enough. And then we start first on the very concrete, on text and graphs, and then move on to the other aspects of health business. So these five steps you will do in a moment in your groups. If we now zoom in on any numbers, figures, pictograms, forms that a person has to deal with in his journey, leaving everything else out. Pictograms. They are meant to be very easy to understand, but that's not always the case. What is this? The second thing for the term. Toilet, or flushing toilet, or we're probably in anesthetic inhalator. Was this a TV series? What is his name? Doctor Wood or whatever.
House.
Yeah. Was the patient coming in and said, "My aspirin medicine is not working." And I use it so quickly, and he said, "Can you perhaps show me how you do it? What does he do?" That's one example of mismatch. So pictogram could be some examples you can think of. Are they easy to understand here in the Spanish context? Or can you find some examples where this would be an example? Think about the medical forms that this patient, your patient, would have to fill out. Can you find some examples of internet of Spanish medical forms? Are they easy to understand? Are there any challenges? What are the challenges? And what can be done? Think of your patient. What kind of a journey have they made? I know from my own country that two hospitals had merged, and then they get one big title, but the patient doesn't know, so he goes to the wrong hospital in the wrong city. And he's too late for his appointment, because it wasn't explained properly that with this fusion, this department ended up there, and another department ended up there. Again, it could be some pictograms on a sign. Some of my students last summer went to Maastricht, a university hospital, and took pictures of pictograms. Smoking is one, parking sign, key. But then there was this insect that is red, but with the black dots. Why would there be a pictogram of this insect in the hospital? What does that mean? No violence. I've never seen it, but no violence.
No violence.
And you think of, you know, this was in the academic hospital. So, are there any problems with, for your patient to navigate and find a way? It could also be another example I heard at a conference last month. They were telling, it's one of the regions in Denmark, that if you need a hearing aid, you have to call a hotline. A hearing aid and calling a hotline. So sometimes with this immense system, we don't think about the end user or the... Can you find some examples? What problems do your patient have? Could be obesity, maybe. Can you understand nutrition labels? What can we do to enhance this? This is an American nutrition label. They actually look like that. But I think we all know in Europe, they don't look like it's so simple. We also talk about graphs and risk and proportions, percentages. A lot of people don't understand it. Can you find some examples, maybe for your patients, of infographics that are relevant, that are helpful? But maybe you also find some that are completely difficult to understand and will not help your patients. In this one, try to define, because they talk about stress, anxiety, depression, so they have the numbers, but they also show in the circle how many parts is it. But if you're colorblind, maybe, or you don't, still don't understand the proportions, it is the world. The owl has to do with sleeping. For some it makes sense, but maybe night owl. But for others, it doesn't make sense. Can you find some examples that are relevant for your patient? Where, because we search Dr. Google, so your patient will go to Google and see what they can find. This one was on climate change, and I felt that was a lot of text. Doesn't really help a lot when it's so crowded. So how will you make graphs and text more accessible? First, you start with listing all the problems and challenges that your patient has with finding information in terms of text and forms and graphs and pictures. Very concrete prints. Look at your patient journey. Where will they be faced? Your smartphone and computer. Thank you. A certain language that we do. And the person that will get another one day not to learn it. This is a good example. A medical student, first year, goes through. 3 years later, this is specialist, hurt. And suddenly we understand why they speak like this. And this is not a stereotype of all doctors. Certainly, there are a lot of good doctors and good health professionals who know how to communicate, but we have to do that communication can be challenged. So we can use again simple, clear language. Ask for clarification, make a decision, follow, if they don't do it, then they can't do these decisions and they cannot follow what we want them to do. So now your time is to write up the challenges that your patient has in terms of verbal communication. Think back on this patient journey that you just wrote up at the beginning. Who do they meet, your patient? And how is that communication taking place? Is it in the phone? How is that working? Is it in the clinical? Is it clinic with the nurse or with the doctor, specialist? Where are the challenges that your patient, what are the challenges your patient will have? And when you have identified them, put yourself in the patient's shoes. Okay? New round. One of the recommended solutions for improving interaction is called the teach back method. Have you heard about the teach back method, some of you?
Yeah.
If we start here, you have a new concept. The physician, the doctor explains the new concept. And then ask the patient, can you explain it? What did I just say? Or he could say, when you go home, what will you tell your wife? And then the physician will listen. And if he says, well, the patient we call and it's okay, then we completely agree. But if the patient would say, yeah, I'm hyper, and it was about hypertension, then the physician would know and can ask new questions and try to tailor it, maybe making it even more simple and then explain it one more time. It's a bit like our teachers when we went to school. Some teachers were very good in explaining the same thing in different ways. Sometimes you had a teacher who would explain the same thing in the same way three times. So teach back is a method that you will hear again and again and again, trying to overcome challenges in communication or interaction. Another one is an American model called ASCII-3. You heard about that? So as a patient or relative, you can consider to ask these three questions when you are at a consultation. What is my problem? Can you explain this? What do I need to do about it? Take the pill three times a day maybe? And why is it important for me to do it? Because some people, they don't realize why things are important. We see it, for example, with antibiotics. You have to take a regime for 10 days, maybe, the pills. But after 5 days, I feel fine. What happens? I stop taking pills. Maybe if Because I didn't understand that the treatment has to be taken before to be fully protected. Some allergy pills you have to take every day, but again, you have good days and bad days. So when the bad days are there, my son, he will take all his pills, and then he feels fine, and then he stops taking the pills, and then he goes like this. And other pills you have to, medication, you know, you have to remain not dry, or it can be all this. And understanding why it's important. So ASCII3 is also something you should. Other things you may have also on your list, give the right answers. And if they don't ask, we can help to give them the information. Ensure comfort and safe environment. So if the patient is very distressed, maybe the policeman here. We talk about clean language instead of technical language. Sit down. Sometimes the doctor is in a hurry, maybe a hospital, and stand like this. It doesn't give a good feeling, so if you want to have this eye level, or sit down, have the time to do it. Sometimes drawings can help. And to teach back the method we already talking about. Do you have any suggestions that are not here on the list on how you are overcoming the problems for your patient? Maybe we just have a short presentation of each patient so you know what each group has been doing. So if you start here, short presentation of your patient, what's the problem? How did you, what were the problems with the written information, and what's the problem with the interaction, and what are you proposing to do?
Nos tenim una pacient que es dona de 67 anys, amb un poc, amb antecedents de diabetes, i sempre té 39 de febre, i decideix anar a la primària. Allà, ha de fer una cua al mostrador per parlar de l'administrativa, després ha de passar pel vigilància en infermeria, finalment la vigilància. Per complicació amb la seva malaltia, la deriva a un hospital, on ha de tornar a fer cua administrativa, cua al vigilància en infermeria, cua al vigilància, i després esperar una sala d'espera pel seu nivell d'atenció. Al final, ha sigut moltes hores, i ha d'haver un tractament que ella entendrà perquè no tenim materials per fer-ho. En aquest cas és el que seria els inhaladors i corticoides, per tant ella ha de sortir de l'hospital perquè ha de sortir.
I quins són els problemes que s'estan trobant?
Primer, teníem documents amb lletra petita on hi havia la seva informació. Després també tenia un pla de medicació complicat perquè no s'entenia bé les hores de dia, no s'entenia bé. I el tríptic que tenia pel tractament tampoc no hi ha gaire l'objectiva. També no tenia data, no tenia... era una mica... Ah, i si tenia algun dubte a casa, després no sabíem ningú que ho vingui, no sabíem quin seguiment que hi havia.
So she's in real trouble.
Yeah.
But she's fine.
Is she here tomorrow?
Let's move to this group.
El nostre cas és una dona de 35 anys.
Espera, que no vas tan
Va a la consulta per una citomorfologia de dolors apicals. És cuidadora de gent gran i bueno, el seu primer fa una cerca perquè un creu important la informació prèvia i experiències prèvies respecte a aquesta citomorfologia, on es podrien donar situacions d'automedicació o autocura pel seu compte. Acudeix a urgències i per una crisi aguda on se li fa la derivació a metge de capçalera. Se li dona visita al metge de capçalera i aquí el repte una mica és a transmetre les instruccions d'una medicació, per exemple. Tenint en compte que és un possiblement és una dona immigrant, per tant amb el llenguatge, evitar i ser entendibles. I a l'hora d'assegurar-nos que fa una interpretació correcta de l'empresa de la medicació, hem creu important generar confiança i fins i tot oferir-se perquè si en el temps hi apareixen dubtes doncs pugui adreçar-se normalment a la metgessa. I donar algun tipus de suport a l'escrit de la visita, de manera que tinguem en compte doncs, les barreres culturals que pugui haver-hi o d'idioma.
Then she would bring it home and have others to read it. I told you we moved after 10 years from Netherlands to Denmark. My son here was the youngest, he was 14 years old, so he was entitled to a language course. So we get a lesson from the municipality that he can have a language course. It was very simple language and the letters were so big, like it was a child to a child. So for me, it was stigmatizing in a way, because just because you don't speak the language, you're not stupid. So if we could find another, now my life would be Danish, so why are they writing big letters? We are all adults, we have lives, we are human beings, most of us have been to school. So I got a denigre on my own municipality that they were patronizing. Is that the right word? They meant well, but it was not received by me very well. They could just write a normal letter. And if it was a translation problem, I could ask someone to translate, but they don't have to. So I like your idea very much from this group to have written material and interaction to support and be cultural sensitive. When I moved to Netherlands, in the very beginning I did not speak Dutch, now I speak Dutch. I went to the city hall. And the ladies, you're shouting at me because I could not understand. Excuse me, can you maybe speak English or German or Dutch? And I thought, if she's treating everyone like that, I mean, I don't think I'm stupid. So this was about simple text, so again, if this can happen to me, can you imagine it can happen to many people who are vulnerable? It's a good advice from this group. And your patient will survive so tomorrow when we move on. Let's get over.
És una dona que té mal de genoll, té 70 anys, amb sobrepès, és vídua i té un fill. Viu a la zona urbana, Girona. I el problema principal és això, mal de genoll. Comença anant al metge de capçalera, després passa rendeix com a especialista. L'especialista, bueno, si és aquí dintre Girona, doncs no hi ha massa problemes. Si és a l'hospital, doncs ja ha de fer un primer trasllat. Llavors, l'especialista li comença a donar proves diagnòstiques i, finalment, té un diagnòstic. No? El paper del diagnòstic, quan ja hem vist com a problemes, doncs, normalment els diagnòstics doncs, són molt complexes i amb llenguatges complicats. Se li recomanava fer una operació de genoll, una pròtesi, treure el genoll seu i posar una pròtesi. I llavors la senyora es veia, lògicament, tot això transbalsa molt. No? A més, aquí a Espanya per, més o menys s'està esperant per poder rebre aquestes operacions un any, potser més. Però això és com un transfals no? psicològic per la persona que és gran. A part d'això, després quan arriba finalment a l'hospital per l'ingrés i per l'operació, llavors es troba amb una sèrie de fulls de consentiments informats, també molt complexes, amb moltes coses per... O sigui, ha de donar una signatura, però hem llistat enorme de possibles efectes contraris, de què està fet la pròtesi, etc. Sí, complicacions possibles. Llavors, bueno, això entra a la sala d'operacions, l'opera, el postoperatori sol ser ràpid, en 4 o 5 dies surten de l'hospital, amb un genoll pues, surt mal, ha de fer rehabilitació, ha de fer trasllats de nou de casa seu a la rehabilitació. Bueno, és molt tortuós tot això. Si és una persona gran, dèiem que possiblement necessiti d'algun familiar des de quan va al metge de capçalera, a l'especialista i tot el procés perquè l'ajudi a entendre perquè la situació és complexa.
No, també deien que s'ha de fer rehabilitació a casa, normalment es donen una sèrie de pictogrames de com fer els exercicis, també és important que els comprengui o que abans de deixar-me anar a casa expliquin les seves pròpies paraules com és quan les fer.
Llavors que són molts passos on hi ha possibles entrebancs, dificultats. I molts de papers que se li donen que ben adonats en llenguatges molt complexes i difícils d'entesa per una persona gran. No? Després hauríem de veure la seva capacitat, si és senil o no, perquè es complica més d'intervenir més gent.
What would be your advice if she is not, if she is a bit senile, say? How can we help her?
Com és el benjamí?
Es recomana que vagi sempre acompanyada, que doni un fill. O sigui, sempre cada roda de l'aigua o cada visita del metge que vagi acompanyada.
So, when we measure health literacy, often there is a question, do you have anyone to join you to consultation? Or, because this part is very important when you have, when you're disadvantaged.
Després és viure, no? En Espanya ara s'està usant un això, la qüestió de cuidadores, no? Si té cuidador, no?
Més complexa que la vida d'Oris.
Nosaltres tenim una dona de 60 anys, que aparentment té una malaltia coneguda.
que lo mismo van a profesional profesional de la salud, que está actiu, que está treballant, que té dos fills que vol fora de càrrec, però que no estàs fent amb el seu marit i amb la seva mare, que com diria marit i van de salut, i es troba malament, té uns vestigues i decideix anar bueno, demanar hora al metge capçalera. El metge capçalera li dona molt de temps i avui decideix utilitzar la telecorda, que és la dia d'una hora. Llavors, amb audiència, la gent és un professional de la salut i li dona, li diagnostica els seus vertigens i li dona el tractament. I quan demana que quan acabi el tractament, s'acabi de veure si un xic absent del primària. Però surt amb unes instruccions i un pla de medicació perquè s'estiga el pla de medicació. Sense explicar-li gaires coses. Acaba el tractament, més o menys millora, se'n va almenys a capçalera, que comença a explorar i determina que hi ha més problemes afegits, no? Se'ls explica així molt, però hi ha altres problemes i altres descobreix que hi ha una sobrecàrrega del cuidador.
Llavors decideix
que hi ha aquestes, uns testos, i a banda d'altres proves de la mateixa persona. Això és la situació. Hi ha molts problemes detectats.
Els reptes que ens hem plantejat és que aquesta dona entengui el que li està passant, que comprengui bé el pla de medicació i d'actuació, que entengui quin impacte té la situació que viu amb la sintomatologia que està patint i facilitats i recursos per millorar aquesta situació. Els problemes principals que hem trobat és que en els informes escrits que li han donat urgències hi havia massa lletra, molt de l'argot científic i era totalment de la rama, i que el pla de medicació li han explicat totalment, li han donat escrit i com que no es trobava bé en aquell moment, quan arriba a casa, no ho té el pla de medicació. Després, per solucionar aquest tema d'urgència, hem dit que seria bo per un costat, l'informe mèdic de l'atenció primària, del metge primària, i fer un informe adaptat a la persona, molt visual, que la persona, quan arribi a casa, tingui què és el vergi, les recomanacions, i en el cas del pla de medicació, que sigui visual. Posar, si se l'ha de prendre al matí, doncs un sol, amb una veu al costat del sol, però en tot cas, que a casa pugui entendre-ho. I a l'atenció primària, que hem fet el tema de la comunicació oral, hem dit que la persona que atén aquesta dona utilitzi un llenguatge planer, propiciï que pugui fer totes les preguntes i els dubtes, controli el llenguatge no verbal, que la miri, que sigui assertiva, que la pugui preguntar, que li doni recursos útils per casa i que les instruccions que li digui cada seguit les pugui llegir amb la seva rutina de vida per trobar a casa seva doncs, el fred de quan ha de fer una medicació o fer una altra instrucció.
So one way is to use the aspirin tablets. Another idea I did not mention is to make chunks. So instead of giving a long explanation, you give a little piece and look to see if you can understood it. And then you give an extra information. Three times, instead of speaking for 5 minutes and then the patient is lost. But sometimes when you are in a stressful environment, working environment, we as professionals forget to make the chunking system or chunking advice. So Jones, as you Frank, trust was from this one, cultural sensitivity from this one, and plain language. So, tell me and I forget, teach and I remember, involve me and I learn. So that goes also for the patient, that's also what you did today, and I think you can be really proud of yourself, how active you've been the whole hospital. And we will move on tomorrow with the organizational level. So now we were very much at the individual level, at the patient. Tomorrow we will talk more about which kind of systems, and out of the clinical setting, what kind of cities and communities, institutions we have, so what are the promotions? And lastly, societal. poder-lo.
I també no ho crec que ell és el sap que ens feia.
Before we finish today, can we take a group photo?
Podem.